Blog Talk Radio.
You know, we were just talking backstage, and you want me to get more involved. I'm like, yeah, let's clean up the damn hood. Black people and white people, poor black people and poor white people live in the same conditions. Only thing, black people paint on their houses.
It's free advertising.
But, you know, I think the point is people...
If we straighten out ourselves, people would deal with us as human beings. Don't you agree? A little bit?
Well, if your kid
wants something and his room is dirty, you say, get back and clean up your room. Then tell me what you want.
Cleanliness is always close to godliness. There's no question about that.
Thank you.
But if you live in a certain area of town where they cut off access to capital...
Yes.
And cut off access to jobs.
And you can't pick up a damn piece of paper in front of your house.
But
it don't mean that.
But pick it up.
My mother used to make me clean up my yard and the 2 yards next door to her.
But I think it's important. You should be able to pick up paper and pick up a paycheck. Pick up paper and pick up a plumber.
And we still picked up the paper. My daddy was on strike and I'm out there sweeping away, man.
Well, my grandmother used to make us clean the dirt with a brush broom. Having said that, even that is no substitute for the right to an education,
a job, and healthcare. Right, but we got to get on our own stuff a little bit.
Well,
we got to smack our own kids upside the head every now and then. Thank you very much.
We are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bus, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening once again, folks. Your heroes have returned after several preemptions, and we apologize for that. This is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, DBA, a.k.a. Afro Nerd Radio. Folks, the call-in number, try it, you'll love it. The water is always warm, don't be scurred, as we always say, is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Apologies for my gravelly voice, it's somewhat gravelly. Partially a reasoning for the preemptions. I caught a touch of the flu. The worst time, well, it's never a good time to catch a cold, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you know that. But if there's ever a tier below catching a cold at an appropriate time, it is the summertime. I'm on the mend. Not a big deal. We'll move forward. A lot to discuss. I'm going to probably be all over the place the first 20 or 30 minutes of the broadcast. There's just so much data to unpack. The ironic thing when you do a show like this, ladies and gentlemen, is you set up topics and you think you're ahead of the game, and then within 12 to 24 hours of having done that, other things come down the pipeline. So I'm going to talk about some anecdotal stuff, just crazed things. I got to get into it. So, without further ado, let's go to an urban alternative, black rock, afro punk, remixed groove, psychedelic soul, giving you a classic groove, but it is a remix. It's the great, legendary godfather of soul, James Brown. It's a new day. special remix. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
It's ready, it's ready. You got to do something.
Captain, I had a tough time extricating myself from that groove once again. That is a special remix of the Godfather of Soul, Mr. James Brown, Mr. Goodfoot. It's a new day. It's a new day. A special slinky remix. Check it out, folks. I got to say something briefly before I beam up the captain. James Brown is going to be around for centuries, listening to that groove. It sounds, I mean, that's a modernized take of his hit, but you see that he was a genius, that he tapped into so many genres, that it sounds like something that could be played in a club with all that electronic music. I mean, it has been revitalized, although I anything James Brown does, I love, but that's what when you really tap into a type of genius, when someone's able to transcend. And he's going to be with us, thankfully. Okay, without further ado, enough with my meanderings. Let's bring in the captain. Captain, it's your time. You need it in the ready room. Let's get to it, sir.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
I'll be brief here. I'll be real brief, then I'll pass it over to Afro Nerd, ladies and gentlemen. Now, based on my groundbreaking informational diatribe stating that the observer collapses the quantum wave function based on the Copenhagen interpretation, 1920 science. The observer collapses the quantum wave function, and this makes a reality. Simply put, when you put images on the movie screen and you get millions of people to watch it year after year after year, it collapses the quantum wave function and it makes the reality what you see on the movie screen, okay? So, that being said, Transformers 4, in order for the movie to get shown in China, Hollywood figured something out. Instead of their movie getting sent to China and then getting sent back for not being right for the Chinese people, they figured it out. We must show Chinese people in a certain light. Okay? According to my insiders amongst the Chinese people, they say mainland Chinese do not like seeing Chinese women snuggling up with white men kissing and hugging on the screen. The American-born Chinese, they don't, who cares? American-born Chinese. But mainland Chinese, this is according to my inside people from China. So when we've seen Transformers 4, the woman in Transformers 4 who was Asian, the huge Asian actress, had to be shown in a certain light. Otherwise, the movie would not be shown because the observer collapses the quantum wave function because the Chinese male-dominated society does not want their women acting it out. So this is why the Chinese block the internet and do not allow certain images, because based on the Copenhagen interpretation, 1920 science, you have to control observation in order to control the reality that manifests in your monoculture. So there you've seen it playing out. They started this in 1989. China is poised to take the world. Not yet, though. They still need some more time. So this is a mantra I'm driving home. 1920 science. You here in the United States are lost. You here in Europe are lost. The Chinese are figuring it out. They started that in 1989. You don't know what's going on. Everything is super difficult. It's only 1920 science. This is why the Chinese blocked the internet. This is why your movie, when it goes to China, has to go through so many screeners, because the observer collapses the quantum wave function, and it makes a reality. And that's all I'm going to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd. Let's start it up.
Quite insightful, Captain, as always. You know, it's funny you mention that because I did happen to glance at the fact that Transformers, the latest installment of the Transformers series, is being shown in China. But I didn't get a chance to read into it to find out what stipulations were dealt with, what stipulations were actually agreed upon in order for that film to be shown in China. So now that you've brought that out to our audience, it makes sense. It makes sense. And actually, I'm going to dovetail on a number of topics, as I said at the top of the show, that when you do this, you know, you and I talk about this all the time, is that you come up with these topics, and then, you know, up until you come up with the topics, nothing's going on. 12 to 24 hours from having come up with the topics, then a deluge of issues come up. So we're going to talk about a couple of things that were not actually put on our webpage. So again, folks, welcome to Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, the Midweek in Review edition. Couple of things, just anecdotal, feces and giggles kind of stuff. One, Mr. Jeremy Meeks gets a modeling contract. Who is Mr. Jeremy Meeks? He is the Facebook felon we spoke about last week. So I don't know how he's going to circumvent the $1 million bail, just to briefly revisit the story, the non-troversy, young man, man of color, takes a photograph, well, a mugshot, because he's an alleged gangbanger and gangster and just a ne'er-do-well to the umpteenth power. But the lady seemed to fancy him. He took a weird mugshot that was like a photo, like a professional model photograph, and the ladies loved this gentleman, in quotes, an alleged Crip, no less, and they are working to get him out. He's too good-looking to stay in prison. It is what it is. Now, I very rarely have seen a man of white male service, but maybe he might be able to eke through. Our president is not getting white tier level treatment. He certainly, most certainly is not. I'm sorry, Cap?
Yeah, they have the blue eyes. The blue eyes help. The blue eyes.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We'll see how it works out. You know, his Q rating, and Mr. Sergio Mims is fully aware of what a Q rating is, likability factor, it looks like his Q rating is adequate. But I believe he's gotten hooked up with a really big, legitimate modeling agency. So the inner workings, the inner machinations are going forward. So we'll see. I'm intrigued, believe it or not. I'm intrigued. Another thing, too, we know the man's name. Once I know your name, it's a wrap. Half of the battle is how do you get known? Your brand. Jeremy Meeks, I know the guy's name. That's part of the reason why he might get out of jail. We'll see. We'll see. Just anecdotal feces and giggles nonsense. Another story that I find interesting, Captain, I want you to weigh in on this. I happened to hear this earlier this afternoon. Young man, native of New York, young male, I perceive, of Jewish descent. His name is Josh Orlean, and he is a high-ranking current contestant on America's Got Talent. 12 years of age, he's attending a Westchester yeshiva school. What makes his story interesting is that his talent is that he is a comedian. So he's telling jokes on AGT, telling a few risque jokes. So he's definitely a precocious young man. Jokes that aren't really crazy. You know, I don't have the clip on his performance, but I did hear it. I'll probably screw up the joke. But there's one joke, just to give you an idea of where we're going with this thing. One of his jokes is something to the effect of his lamenting to his parents that he wants to be a professional sword swallower, like a circus act. Ma, Dad, I want to be a circus performer. I want to be a sword swallower. And his mother is dead set against it. So, you know, he's talking to his mother, talking to his father, and his father says, well, I'm not shocked that she doesn't want you to be a sword swallower because she hasn't been performing that act since the 80s. So, now, to be honest with you, I thought the joke was pretty funny, right?
Yeah, it's good.
And it's even funnier coming from a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why he's doing so well. The yeshiva school, now mind you, ladies and gentlemen, this is off campus. It's during the summertime, and they're weighing in on this young man. They're saying, knock it off. Knock it off. Some folks or many folks are kind of positioning this as, wait a minute, this is a matter of overreach. Sure, he's a student at this yeshiva school, but he's not mentioning the school. He's not putting the school in his act. He just happens to be a student at this school telling jokes as a hobby, as a potential kind of thing. What's the big deal? What right do they have to weigh in on this young man on the entertainment come-up with an activity that he's doing that's not school-related, not on school grounds, and is on his break? And his parents obviously approve of this. So the issue with me, Captain, is that you know how we do things on this show. We always balance, we measure, we counterbalance, we calibrate. We observe, we discern, we deconstruct. That's what we do. So I sat there and I said, you know what? I think they're overreaching. I think they're overreaching. But on some level, I appreciate that there's a governing body pulls rank on you every once in a while, pulls you to the side and says, slow your roll. We don't like what you're doing culturally. Now, I think that there's overreach on this, Captain. And I'm going to tie this into the mammies. The mammies. My invention, patent pending. I came to the conclusion that the BET Awards or essentially the Black Grammys or the Mammies. It's a minstrel show. Why not call it the Mammies? The Black community doesn't seem to have this kind of cultural governing body to weigh on things and to say, you know what, slow your roll, rightfully or wrongfully. So this is a kind of a double-edged thing here, Captain. So I'm just telling you my impressions. I think they're stretching it. This is a Jewish cultural thing. It's a yeshiva school. I find it interesting that they do not like his risque humor. And yet we, as African Americans, we don't seem to have that kind of thing. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, what you have to understand is this. All right, when it comes to BET Awards, BET performances, the music that we're hearing now, also what they did with the college curriculum, where 70% of it is toilet tissue, and only 30% of it is good, the products that you buy from IKEA, that you constantly have to buy over and over again, that's your furniture in a young man's apartment. Everything around you here in the United States and also in Europe, the frequency has been lowered. Where does this come from? It comes from the top. Who controls the top? All right? It comes from the top. Just hold on right there. Black people, what do? You follow the white power structure. What does the white power structure do? They follow the top. Everything comes from the top down. Here in the West, who controls the West from top down? Jewish bankers, that's who controls it. So you see, it's different rules. What do the Jewish bankers want? They want to make everybody better wage slaves. Beautiful system, because that's exactly what is happening. You lower the frequency, you dumb down the population, you send them to IKEA, they have to spend more constantly, they can't save as much, you make more. So when the young kid comes out who is Jewish, you're ready to check him. But if the black person or if an Eminem comes out or what have you, you just go ahead, let it go, because black follows the white follows the bank of power structure. That's ultimately how it works. That's what it is. Someone's on the top and someone has to be on the bottom. Well, you black people, you're not on the bottom anymore. You have the Mexican. So you bypass that now. So that's pretty much how it works. You understand? But there's also strength in numbers. If we understood as black people, which you don't, even as I'm explaining it, you don't understand. You're just a bunch of followers. If we understood, because there's strength in numbers, then you can start to take control of the system. They control the system. They control the images that you see that create a reality. They lower the frequency. They did that to the, what has happened in the colleges. They did all of that. I didn't do all that. Black people didn't do that. You're just following pretty much what white people do, and white people are following the orders from the top. That's pretty much how it goes. That's what we have right now. So BET and everything else, it is menstrual mammies. That's exactly what it is. But that's the plan. That's pretty much what it is. It lowers the frequency. It makes everybody a better wage slave. It dumbs you down. You do not understand reality. You do not understand how money is brought into being. You don't really understand anything. You just know you have to go get your Jordans one way or the other. And that's where we are at this given time. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yes, sir. I want to go to a quick groove. I like what you said. And my main concern is that I just wish we had a way to break this quantum wave theory that you've been referencing for the last couple of shows. That I see it clearly. When you start factoring in this menstrual industry, I'm going to have to take a break because I'm going to have to take a breather before I get into the mammies. The mammies. That's what it is. It's the mammies. Menstrual Grammy Awards, Black Grammys, the mammies. And I hope it catches on, because exactly what I saw was just Captain and you know, one may say if you're over 30 in this world, this thing, you have no bearing to discuss youth culture. But I'm still interested in youth culture. I still partake in it, but I discern what I partake in.
Let's correct that quickly. If you're 41 and over, you can actually think. And if you're 60, it's even better for most people. Below that, they can't really think. They just run a program. Let's correct it. Screw what they say, because they're wrong. Wrong is wrong. That's the reality of it. 41 and older, you can think. All right? So those fools just can't think.
Yeah, that's really you're right. Because what troubles me is that sometimes some things have to be exactly what you see.
Yeah.
You should be able to comment on what you see. And the I want our listeners to really understand that this is a package that we're being sold. It is a package that openly disrespects you. And we have folks that for some reason, no one wants to weigh in on this. Or you're a hater. Or you're old. Or you're old and a hater. You're an old hater. But it's never what you say it is. It can't possibly be that this is just a whole bunch of no talent, lowering of the bar nonsense. So I'm going to go into it a little bit deeper. And then there's also another story that kind of sort of reminds me of the Jeremy Meeks thing, in a way, where there's a and you know, folks know I'm an Anglophile. I love the Brits. Shouting out Afro Brit, who I saw about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago now, who stopped by NYC to check out the Afro Nerd. Well, not just me, but she was visiting New York, and she said, "Hey, I got to meet you." So I complied with her request. So I have a great deal of respect for the Brits, and especially Brits of color. But there's a British woman of color who is forsaking her three children, Captain. She is leaving her three children to take up with a ne'er-do-well, a prisoner in the U.S., who she fell in love with online. I can't call this. I can't call this, but I'll try. I'll give it a shot. So we'll talk about the mammies, and then we'll talk about this UK mammy. I can't put it any other way. Folks, let's go to a quick group. Another remix. Another remix of a classic. Love this song. This is Who Knows? Who Knows? Band of Gypsies remix. We'll be right back. And again, let's groove. Thank you. Kemet Man, another groove, another infectious groove that I had a difficult time pulling myself away from. That was Jimi Hendrix's outfit, the Band of Gypsies. Who knows, special remix, folks. This is, last time I checked, the midweek and review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Before the break, I was weighing in, or I wanted to weigh in, on the Mammies. The Mammies. So the Oracle calls me up and says, are you going to check out the BET Awards? And I said, I really shouldn't say, I can't say what I said, but it had the N-word in it in a private call with my father. And so I said, I don't want to see that because I know what it is. It's minstrel programming. So he said, you know, you might just want to see it because you might have to comment on it. So I was okay. So I tried to do the best that I could. So I'm in and out of this thing. And the first thing that really gets me, Captain, is I find it, well, this has been going on for a while with the BET Awards, where they have a kaleidoscope or a myriad worth of black talent, or talent in quotes. They have all these different types of artists on this program, where you could have an Oprah Winfrey type, you know, or the late Maya Angelou type of person there, someone who is pretty much a dignitary in the black community. And then you could have 2 Chainz, or in this case, August Alsina, cursing, and, you know, this kind of thing is for the audience. As a live broadcast, they will prevent it, but you get the gist that there's some kind of vulgarity that's being spewed out on stage. So you'll have a really raunchy performance where you have the video vixens, because that's a trope, that's a meme that has remained unchanged for quite a while now. I've mentioned this countless times, Captain. What happened to the female MC? You're allowed to have one per quarter or one per season. We're already phasing out Nicki Minaj and going towards Iggy Azalea. So you're seeing these artists, again in quotes, singing in between the legs of the video vixens in a rather suggestive manner. The women are spreading their legs in a suggestive manner with the vulgarities. So you see that, and then the next segment is we're giving an honorary award to Lionel Richie, or let's say it could be someone of a certain status, of a certain age. And I'm saying, how does that work exactly? How does that work comfortably? You have this vulgarity in one segment, and then you're leading Maya Angelou on stage. I mean, I'm being hyperbolic, but you get my drift. That's what's going on. You see that there's just talent, just a dearth of talent. There's just no talent. The one performance in particular, of course, August Alsina. Chris Brown returns from jail. He's performing. You have Trey Songz. All three are the same guy. I guess that's the purpose of it. But all three are the same guy. And I'm just wondering, with all these generational changes, again, generational in quotes, generational changes, what happened to the baritone singer? You know, everyone can't do falsetto. Like, it's like these powerhouse, I mean, that type of singing, just because the musical landscape changes doesn't necessarily mean that the quality of the voice or the octave should change. But it has. You know, going back into the 60s and the 70s and even the 80s, where you talk about even the 90s, for Christ's sake. But let's go into the Teddy Pendergrasses, or the Leverts, the brothers Levert, or the Levert Sr., Jeffrey Osborne. I mean, what happened to the voice? That's all I'm asking. Again, the music can change, but the voice disappears, though. So we just get one product, that's it. And no one seemed to notice this. Why are black folks comfortable in this? I'm going once again. The catheter should be in attendance as well as our inner sanctum. We're going to see Afropunk this August at Commodore Barry Park in Brooklyn. The listeners to this broadcast, if you're in New York, August 23rd, August 24th, you may want to show up. You'll probably see yours truly in attendance. I'll probably wear some wacky T-shirt saying Afro Nerd meets Afro Punk. I'm putting it out there. The headliners for this festival, coincidentally, Michelle Indegiocello, D'Angelo, Fishbone, Ice-T with Body Count, Unlocking the Truth. I mean, there's a myriad of acts, but you see where I'm going here with. It's just different. It's just different. And we can't seem to get traction, although it's going to be one of the largest musical events in New York. Anywhere between 30 and 50,000 people will be in attendance to this thing. And I mention this because I'm confused. BET can't have cameras at this thing. Times will be there. So the packaging of the minstrelsy, Captain, continues. I wish we had somebody in our corner like Master Josh Orlean has in his corner, rightfully or wrongfully, to check him. Nobody's checking black folk in this minstrelsy. No one says, hey, put some clothes on. Palmer, young actress, who I thought was tracking in a certain way, because she said, that, I think she's a Nickelodeon or Disney actress of color. I believe she actually, she did something, might have been based on a true story years ago. I know Sergio knows about this, with Angela Bassett, maybe 10 years ago. She talked about her issues with the music business, how right away they tried to sexualize her, that there's a certain way you have to come into the business as, at the time, I think, a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry, she might have been as young as 12. At 12, they couldn't market her like a Miley Cyrus for some reason. Now, Miley became an adult. But there was a Hannah Montana period. But for the black girl, we got to sex you up right away. So I'm aghast, ladies and gentlemen. I can't – somebody has to figure this out for me. Where's our governing body to deal with this? But Keke Palmer, I lost a little bit of respect for because, okay, she's 20. I believe she's 20, 21 now. But she set herself up to be this kind of – spokesman against the lunacy, and yet I saw her in some kind of very revealing outfit, and I'm a red-blooded man. Even in my reptilian brain, I checked myself and say, you know what? Every once in a while, I might want to see a woman put some clothes on, just for dignity. Where is the dignity, Captain? I'm asking you. Black folks aren't allowed to have dignified moments, literally. It's like it's against the policy now. 50 years ago, when Sir Sidney Poitier, who was knighted, by the way, he's been knighted for many years, not too many people refer to him. We say Sir Paul, by the way. We say Sir Roger Moore. Sidney, who was from one of the British Isles in the Caribbean. I can't recollect it right now. It'll come to me in a moment. But he is Sir Sidney Poitier. 50 years ago, I have this image that has been ingrained in my mind, Captain, of the first black male recipient of the Academy Awards, and he was so dignified, a shining black prince. 50 years ago, that packaging we could tolerate. Now, before he dies, I suspect the mammies will give him an award. Now, his brother in the arms, say a few years ago, was at the BT Awards and under similar circumstances. So it's not far-fetched to see his colleague, Sidney, get some kind of honor. And I would hate to see Sidney Poitier in the audience as Little Wayne relieves himself on stage, which is the equivalent. Captain, explain this madness to me. Why can't we unravel this obvious minstrel packaging, and why aren't more people pulling the cards of these jokers and saying enough is enough is enough?
Well, what you have to understand, we have a system that has been deployed to make the left become the right become the left, to make up, down, and down, up. Everything is just totally a bizarro world. That's the system that we're in at this given time. This has been deployed, and it's a very effective system in doing that, as you can see. Now, we could have a governing body for what black people do, but you see, the thing with black people, as I said before, when we were talking about the labels, and you know, when people come along and they appropriate the labels, and then you know, you were making as a black person or a Latin person maybe $1.5 million a year. That's what you wanted to do. You didn't have the vision to say, this can make me $20 million a year, or this can be $100 million. You just wanted some rims, a nice car, and a little house, and that's what you got out of it. So these individuals that come along in the music game at this given time, they're separated from the older. There's no bind between the older to the younger. Father's not there in a lot of these households. We know what the out-of-wedlock birth rate is in the black community. So just as the Oracle passed on information to you, they don't have that same type of thing going on. You know, they just don't have that same type of lineage happening. So what they have is, I just want to get paid. Even if they know better and someone says, look, yeah, you can put out music this way, but we're not going to back that. You put out music this way, you're going to make 10 times the amount of money. Forget what your people think. You know, forget what your friends think. Just come down here. You'll make a lot of money, because worse comes to worse, push comes to shove. You could always say, yeah, I make money. And that's the ideology. If you listen to the music, listen to half of the songs. I get money. I get money. You know, I sex the down. Cars, rims, I get high. You see what I'm saying? That's what it equates to. That's what it's equivalent to. That's what it is. You know, it's nothing without substance. They don't have the lineage. They don't have the understanding. They don't understand how powerful they are. What happens when you put out a song and how people begin to follow you. You know, and even if they probably did, they really don't care, because it's about getting money. That's what it is. That's where we are at this given time. That's just the reality of the situation. So we could, back to the point, we could have a governing body. I don't think black people would really listen to a governing body. What has to happen for a governing body to work, the system has to be burnt to the ground. Then you put in place a governing body, because it's too far gone. So there you have it. Back over to you, Seraph from Earth.
You're right. You are definitely right. I mean, that's the root of the problem. But I've said this before, and I know this is a repeated thing, but, you know, you repeat for perfection. It's called the practice effect. I'm a believer of the practice effect. You keep on repeating until you perfect it. So I guess what gets me the most, Captain, is that even if we do not have a governing body, I wish we had at least a Black Fox News Network. A Black Fox. I said this before, that love him or hate him, Fox News does represent a faction of the majority culture, albeit a small faction, that says, you know what, we don't agree with everything. We're not tribal like that. But we're so packaged. We're so monolithically packaged that it comes off as if everybody is in agreement with this current state of Black culture and or the current depiction of Black culture. There should be so many different viewpoints that are allowed. There should be so many different avenues to see what Black people are doing so that we come off a bit more even-keeled. There should be 5 or 6 different, or maybe more, different award shows so that if someone chooses to be lower tier or ratchet, although I'm not a fan of the term ratchet, but that's essentially what the lower tier represents. If that's what you want to promote, then, you know, I can't argue with that because that is the freedoms of your freedoms in America. But I should also have the freedom to have a counter to that. Other ethnicities, Captain, respectfully seem to have that ability, or they're given that ability, or they make that for themselves, that ability. They're given that. But the Black folks, we seem to be content, or there's not enough noise. I mean, this display on BET should be getting so many letters. Matter of fact, Howard Stern used to talk about this a lot. When people did not like what he was doing, it really amounted to 1 or 2 people sometimes, some Midwestern prototypical Christian mother would say, well, I don't like this guy. We need to do something about it. It took sometimes just a smattering of voices. Where are the smattering of voices to say, what the hell is going on? That's it. That's it. I really have a great deal of sorrow for this current cultural representation. That if you don't stand up, you fall for anything. And that's so right, isn't it? All right, listen. I'm going to go to another groove. When we get back, we're going to try to tackle some of the topics that were actually on list. But I do want to go into one more story. And actually, it's shouting out our friend of the show, Q Storm. It's not about him. Actually, it's respect to him, maybe support for something that happened to him. And it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I don't want to make it ominous. But I got to tell this story, Captain, because it deals with something that happened to Q a few weeks ago on another podcast, friends of the show also. But I gotta mention it. I might have mentioned it before, but so I might be repeating myself, Captain. I'll just say this much before we go through a groove. I'm going to reference the movie Autofocus. Sergio is a cineast. I'm sure he remembers this film. Willem Dafoe, Greg Kinnear, tour de force performance by Kinnear. He was Trade, the late actor from the 60s, Bob Crane. And there's a scene in this film with Kinnear and Willem Dafoe that's disturbing. I'm gonna go into this scene. It's a vulgar scene, but it reminds me of Justin Bieber and black culture. It is, it's a shout-out to Q-Storm. I'll explain. You know what I'm talking about, right, Captain?
You mean Coon Train?
Yes. Yes, it's
there
Coon Train, but I'll explain. I'll try to make it brief.
All right.
It's going to deconstruct his treatment. I say it again. It's going to deconstruct his treatment and how a lot of black folks are losing it. We'll get to it. It's going to be a good one. It always is. All right, folks. Let's go to – I'm not going to go to a classic. I was going to, but I'm not. Let's go to Janelle Monáe, Soul Sister number 2. Janelle Monáe, Tightrope, a remix. We'll be right back. Let's groove. Back once again, the queen of psychedelic soul, Janelle Monáe, Tightrope remix. Kinda. Kinda digging that infectious groove. Folks, this is the Afro Nerd. This is the Afro Nerd radio show. And the time 8:28 p.m., so we got another half hour of broadcasting. The call-in number, feel free to buzz on in if you have an opinion or a protestation or a question or a challenge. Feel free to do so. 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. So, I was talking about this film that I'm sure that our resident cineast, cinephile, Sergio Mims, and I saw in the chat room that he knows this film. It's called Autofocus. Came out, I think, 2001, 2002. Greg Kinnear coming off of Talk Soup. He's one of the first hosts of Talk Soup. No one knew that he was this actor with chops. I think he received an Academy Award or an Academy Award nomination maybe 5 years ago. So he's kind of in the system now. Anyway, he portrays in Autofocus Bob Crane. For those who may be unfamiliar with Bob Crane, I would find it hard that you wouldn't be familiar with him because he was the lead in a late 60s TV show that was pretty popular called Hogan's Heroes. And Hogan's Heroes has been on forever in syndication. So anyway, Bob Crane has some notoriety and some moderate success. I think he ended up the machine wasn't the way that it is now. He ended up having some success, but then he started doing some Disney movies, and then he ended up doing Dinner Theater, which wasn't uncommon for someone of a C or B movie status. Anyway, he ended up dying under mysterious circumstances. He was murdered. And what you ended up finding out is that he really was, his life was a precursor to what we now know to be sexual voyeurism. He was somewhat of a Lothario, married to a buxom blonde woman, having orgies, filming orgies. I mean, this guy, well, Hollywood has always had this freak side going back decades, but his archival abilities, having the films and it was he was ahead of his time in this way. This doesn't even rate now. Now, you know, you have Kim Kardashian and everyone has a sex tape, and you know, it's we have degraded even beyond where he was. Now it's not as hidden per se. So anyway, There's a point in the film that I thought was rather disturbing. But this whole scene was disturbing, to be honest with you, because he had a certain public persona. Again, TV series, very popular TV series, and then doing some Disney films. So there's a part in the film between himself, featuring himself, and Willem Dafoe plays his sycophant, who might have been the person that really might have killed Bob Crane. So this is like his Igor in this sexual deviancy, and that's the character that Willem Dafoe plays. So there's a scene. I see that Sergio says Bob Crane, his personal life was such an inspiration to me. I found a new hobby. I'm not touching that. Anyway, there's a scene when both actors are on a couch, and Kinnear as Crane is looking at a pornographic film. Matter of fact, I think either it's a pornographic film or it might have been a film of one of his escapades. He's looking at it with his personal Igor, as portrayed by Willem Dafoe. And then he starts to pleasure himself, Kinnear as Crane, on this couch with his buddy right next to him. Now, they never touch. There's no kind of intimacy between these two. But it was a scene where it shows just how low this guy gets with him being sexual enough or crazed, sexually crazed enough to pleasure himself nonchalantly in front of his sycophant. Now, in true sycophantic fashion, as masterfully portrayed by Defoe, looks at Crane doing this, and you can see the light bulb go off in his head and says, oh, it's cool to do this. It's cool to do this. So he, in like-minded fashion, the two never touch or anything. That would be the next level. But he starts to pleasure himself. He essentially gives him the, like, looks at him and says, shrugs his shoulders and says, all right, I might as well get down too. Now, when I looked at that, I said, oh, this is crazy. It's a disturbing scene. But it's meant to show how degraded and freakish Bob Crane was. Now, in defense of Q-Storm, now Q-Storm's like, what do I have to do with this? Follow me, if you will. Q, I think we spoke about this weeks ago, with the whole thing with Justin Bieber and how we found out that he used the N-word once and then went into it again in a more vulgar thing. And Q on another show, and it was all for feces and giggles on that show, so it's not like there's any tension or anything. They're lovely guys. Heck, I'll shout them out. Podcast Juice. I listen to their broadcast. Lovely, you know, great program. Prince aficionados, all that. So it's not really about the podcast. There was a point where they were ribbing playfully as Q had referenced. They were playfully ribbing him about his issue with maybe black folks might have to take some responsibility for Bieber. We made him a little too comfortable. That was his proposition. That was his opinion. And we've said the same thing. We have to start taking some responsibility. But when he went into that argument, the folks at podcast kind of playfully took out the clip as a joke of Coon Train. We played the Coon Train clip also. It's meant to kind of say, well, you know, you're kind of riding with the white folks, so to speak. You know, you're doing an Uncle Tom dance. I know they were playing, Captain, but it's not. But that is a common belief with a lot of black folks, though, that if you come up with a different opinion that critiques black folk in any way or levies some blame, a skosh, a percentage, let's give it 0.5% of blame for some of this quote-unquote nigga nonsense. If you go in that direction, you might be hearing this. It is funny. And the timing over there was pretty funny what they did to Mr. Q-Storm. But, with our penchant, well, to be tribal, with I'm not going to say tribal, let's get away from tribal, with the lower tier's penchant for making some folks comfortable with the N-word, it harkens back to that scene on the couch with Mr. Bob Crane, Q. Now, I want folks to deconstruct what I say. Explain that. You let talking to the black man as a concept, the minstrel black man, let me be more specific, the minstrel black man as a concept, Captain, you addressing the minstrel black man have made the white man comfortable in your self-pleasuring. He sees you because you let him in on your couch. You made him feel comfortable because you're pleasuring yourself. Now, the mythological white man embodied by Justin Bieber takes out his equipment and follows suit. This is what you allowed to happen. So I have to kind of stick up for Q-Storm on that. This is how we deconstruct arguments over here. So, Cast Juice, I love Podcast Juice. And it's not even really about the show. It's about the fact that is a common mindset. It is a prototypical mindset that if you place blame on black folks for their self-immolation, if you go in that direction, you will oftentimes get the coon train treatment. But I stand by what I say, that if you choose to pleasure yourself in the company of others, don't be shocked they shrug their shoulders and commence to join you. Captain, this is a dangerous damn show. No one's going to deconstruct that argument. Nobody. What say you, and then we'll move along.
Well, they will try to deconstruct it. They'll get emotional. You have to understand something with victimization culture. You know, victimization culture doesn't want any blame for anything. Hence, they can't move past being the victim. Yes, we were slaves. Yes, it was Jim Crow. Yes, it was KKK. Yes, there was a lot of things that happened. Of course. Yes, I got you. I'm hugging you, black man, right now. But the reparations are not here. The handout is not here. You have to get up and do for yourself and handle your own business and set up everything for yourself. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. It doesn't look like it. They had enough time to play that game if it was going to happen. So some of the responsibility, some, not saying everything, some of the responsibility falls on you, okay? By getting a job, getting a high school diploma, getting a bank account, you know, taking care of your family, that it falls upon you, you know? Can't blame it on slavery. Can't blame that on Jim Crow. You might be able to blame it on the liberals, but that's a whole other thing for giving you all of these programs that allowed you to do all your menstrual behavior and sit around and get second and, you know, third generation welfare. That's a whole other thing. I dissed the liberals already pertaining to that. Something that black people of all different ilk will not do. I did it for you, black people. So they can say to a certain extent, they will try to attack you emotionally. What do you mean, Afro-nerd? You're not really a black man, Afro-nerd. You don't feel our pain, Afro-nerd. I am a victim of the system. White people don't love me. They don't care about me. They won't do anything for me. They won't give me a program. That's how they will attack you, Afro-nerd. Need I say more? That's all.
All right, one more story of madness, and then we'll move to something that's a bit more upbeat. I saw this thing, and I told you I was thinking about Jeremy Meeks, how we are kind of ignoring folks and their degradation and their criminality. We're ignoring these things now. there's a woman of color across the pond. Her name is Jennifer Butler. I believe she's 29 years of age. She has three lovely children, and she's leaving her children, with their father, but she's leaving them to pursue a relationship in the States with a prisoner she met online from a prisoner website. The gentleman's name, gentleman once again in quotes, and he has tattoos not dissimilar to Jeremy Meeks. Matter of fact, I think he has, I'm looking at a picture of this. I'm going to put this link in the chat room. There's a picture of this guy, and it looks like his he has a tattoo of hair on his head. Like he's bald with hair. He's got tattoos all over. He got tattoos on the neck. I mean, whatever. But to leave your children because you want to pursue a relationship with a criminal. She's flying 5,000 miles from the UK to marry Mr. Moser, who's set to be released from prison timber. I mean, this thing of always going to the lowest common denominator, Captain. We see, I can't stop saying we. I'm a victim of tribalism myself. There's got to be a place to comment on this. I mean, this is just another story, but your present media representation will not unpack these stories. They don't talk about them. They won't talk about this stuff. They will just pipe out the music, pipe out the minstrelsy, and will not allow for there to be a place where at least it can be deconstructed. So I put the link in the chat room. It's not that much to say. It's just a woman that appears to be just off her rocker to pursue dirt. They have dirt in England. Why do you have to go half a world away to pursue American dirt? That's it.
You want my opinion on it?
Yeah, I do.
Well, here's the thing. But we know decisions are done emotionally. This is why, as per rule, not all the time, but as per rule, men are normally better decision makers than women because they're less emotional. When you're less emotional, you understand, you get a clearer view of what's going on. Emotion has judgment. But 22, because decisions, as per rule, are done emotionally. So it's constantly playing back and forth. If you can touch someone emotionally, you can make them make a very bad decision. Now, what do we know about women? We know with women, they actually, not all, but most of them, okay, according to psychologists, this is what they say. Most women prefer bad boys, okay, because as per rule, no one follows a nice guy. They prefer bad boys, but they're intelligent enough to know that you cannot do anything with the bad boy. So now you have the mind and the heart interacting on each other. Intelligence of the mind, the heart is where the emotion is, so they say. So if you can really touch a woman emotionally, bad boy, you can pull her out of her environment, according to psychologists. This is what happens, and this is what you see going on here. Now, I know I'm making it very simple. She's an idiot. That's obvious. You understand? But this is according to what psychologists say. And we see this play out on different levels. We see it at higher levels, and we see it at lower levels. And this also helps explain when you see the thug guy walking around with a nice college-educated woman who's supposed to know better, who comes from a much better background. Not all the time. Sometimes, you know, she's from a bad background. She just happened to go to school and get a nice job. That happens too. But as per rule, that's normally not necessarily the case. You know, she's coming from somewhere else. He's come from somewhere else, and he managed to touch her emotionally, so she is making a bad decision, and he is a bad boy, so there you go. Because as per rule, people do not follow nice guys. That's what you have going on in the mix, you know. But she, at the end of the day, she's an idiot, she's irresponsible, she's leaving the kids and everything else. That is the case. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
All right. On a lighter note, on a tech note, well, it may be construed as a lighter note. I'm not really sure. It's a frightening proposition, Captain. But it's not so blackety black tribal. Facebook. This is just an anecdote, really. I mean, it's being treated as an anecdote, Captain, but it's really insidious. And you would think there would be more outrage about this. Facebook admitted that they conducted a psychological on some of their members, upwards of 700,000 people, a psychological test unbeknownst to the 700,000 people. And I'm looking at the Huffington Post, and it's entitled, "Facebook Scientist Who Secretly Manipulated People's Emotions, : My Bad." Let me repeat that. They're essentially saying what the data scientist is saying. Facebook scientist who secretly manipulated people's emotions. He essentially is saying, my bad. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to control your mind. My bad. That's the crux of this piece. I'm going to read this for a minute. Everything is so tangentially connected. Pardon me, so tangentially connected. As the cat often in the last few shows talked about, quantum collapse, wave collapse. This is what we're talking about. This goes back to Hitler's Germany. I'm trying to remember the minister of propaganda, Mengele. Mengele was the guy that was taking heath. But a well-known scientist 70 years ago. I must be losing my memory. I'll look it up in a moment. Goebbels, yes. Thank you, Sergio, always on point. Joseph, I believe, correctly. That's his first name, if I'm not mistaken. To this day, the father of media manipulation, certainly, propaganda. So this is what Facebook has tapped into. This is Facebook, mind you, not World War II Germany. So I'm going to read this for a moment and unpack what he did. The internet erupted in anger this weekend after discovering that Facebook attempted to manipulate the emotions of hundreds of thousands of people in 2012 as part of an experimental look into the power of its news feed. Coincidentally, the lead researcher of the controversial Facebook project is suddenly having some second thoughts about the whole thing. Adam Kramer, the data scientist at Facebook in charge of the study, wrote a mea culpa of sorts on Sunday afternoon. In it, he said he never intended to hurt any of the 700,000 people affected by the study, which looked at how one's emotional state was altered by changes in news feeds. The mainstream of status updates and photos when Facebook is first opened. I can tell you that our goal was never to upset anyone, Kramer wrote on Facebook. I can understand why some people have concerns about it, and my co-authors and I are very sorry for the way the paper described the research and any anxiety it caused. In hindsight, the research benefits the paper, for it may not have justified all of this anxiety. Kramer's major regret is that he and his colleagues didn't adequately explain why they conducted the study in the first place. The reason, he said, was that they were trying to make Facebook into a better product by better understanding the people who use it. Well, Captain, I know this is really up your forte, but there's got to be a better way for them to explain what they were really about. You and I both know they're not going to really tell you what they were trying to do, but it's pretty obvious because Facebook already has addictive properties. But this is something else. We're seeing people who have billions to screw around with you, and a lame apology is not what it should take. But no one's paying attention. They refuse to unplug the cable from the back of the neck, a la The Matrix. So it continues. Who knows what other things are out there that are manipulating folk? You see how this minstrel stuff isn't going away. Your thoughts, Captain?
Well, let me explain exactly what they were doing. As I said before, 2 years ago, human beings think they control their thought process, but they really don't in the modern-day era due to the advent of computers. You are called wetware by the CIA, DIA, Mossad, GCHQ, FBI, CIA, MI5, MI6. That's what they call you. They call you wetware because of what is known as the SMA. That's called the supplementary motor area. That's on top of your head. That's the soft spot on babies. Anyone who's had a baby, that's a soft spot. This is what they realize with all the research that's out there. You can look up SMA, supplementary motor area. This is what they realize. When you're trained playing video games, coming up, as most people are, young kids anyway, especially these days, they can get the supplementary motor area to fire. If that fires, then you go out and do an action. Simply put, this is what I mean. If you say you're going to punch somebody, right, you just say you're going to do it. If the supplementary motor area does not fire, you do not do it. Now, if I can make your supplementary motor area fire and download commands, you go out and do it. That's based on the research. So now, Facebook wants to see if they could control people via the Internet and then pass the information on. This is not conspiracy theory stuff. You could look this up. This is old science from the 60s. That's all what it is. You're wetware. Once you hook into computers, this is what they can do to you. Doesn't work on a captain, but it works on 99.99% of the population because I know what's going on, so it doesn't work on a captain. But it'll work on most of you listening right now. Hence, young people, when they put images on the Internet, they react emotionally. Oh, this, that. They tweet what they were checking out, so to speak, was let's put this out there. Let's put this out there. Let's see how the people react. Let's see if we can make them go left. Let's see if we can make them go right. Just like how they do a mouse in a maze. And they found out that you actually can do that. Then they pass that information on to the NSA, the CIA, the DIA, and other organizations. That information has been out there since the 60s. You can easily control human beings in the modern day era just by typing in a few things or bringing up an article to make the masses of people react. Case in point, you put an article on the Internet, doesn't have to be true. White man goes out and kills three black people. Send it all around the Internet. How do black people react? Black people will not even take the time out to find out that it is true. So right there, you start the smoldering to trigger a race war if you want. You put some more information. You put some other information. Real simple. Now, the ones that it doesn't work on, they'll say, hold on. You can think objectively, like how we do here on the Afternoon Radio Show, tap the brake and say, let's see. This doesn't make sense. Then they call us sellouts for doing that. And then by the time the smoke clears, you find out the whole thing was fake. There you go. They play games with you. You can be programmed. That's what the research says. That's really what's going on. They're playing games with us. Now you see why I say the system has to be burnt to the ground. Has to be burnt to the ground. That's all. Back over to Sir Raffle Nerd.
As always, Captain, unpacking on the real. Ladies and gentlemen, always an absolute pleasure. Enjoy your holiday. Be safe. Please be intelligent. Be discerning. That's what we do. We'll do it again on Saturday. Check us out, 6 p.m., the Grindhouse Show featuring the captain and, of course, the uncanny Daryl B. Let's go on out on an up note, Uptight Remix, the great Stevie Wonder. See you on Saturday, 6 p.m. It's been real.